If you're excited to be on one of our Bridgepoint campuses or here at the Tyrone or Clearwater or Seminole or downtown, I know Clearwater is a meeting, but you're meeting somewhere. And if you're excited at all, will you put your hands together for what God has already done? Come on, somebody. As good Scott Davis says all the time, well, welcome to Bridgepoint, wherever you're listening from. I'm so excited to be here with you. My name is Trevor, and it's my privilege to be the downtown campus pastor and to be with you today, wherever you're listening from. We're in a series titled, Here's What Matters. And a part of that series, I just want to share with you up front that unity matters. And in the middle of this series that we've been in, we want the person that's never been to Bridgepoint before to also know that you're welcome and that you don't have to know what we've been talking about to be here, to hear and apply maybe something that touches you where you are, that impacts your heart, that impacts your life. You can apply it today. And maybe you, just maybe, you can begin to have God move in your life. At Bridgepoint, we want this place to be a place for all people to get connected, to understand who Jesus is, to have him move in your life. And we understand this, that there's somebody listening today who does not believe in Jesus, who doesn't believe that they belong here. And I'm here to tell you, you belong here, because there was a moment where I didn't believe in Jesus, where he impacted my life. He led me to experience him, and now I'm walking with him every day. So this is a message, and this is a place for every single person, no matter walk of life you're in, and no matter what you've been through, what you're going through, or no matter what you're going to go through. We are all in this together. This is what matters, unity. Today is a big day. It's a big day for a lot of reasons, but the reason it's a big day is because you're here. And you've given us this time to hopefully receive something, to get something out of this moment of us being together. You have some value, and we want to make sure that you're invested in, that you do receive something. So we're going to begin. I'm going to begin with asking you a question. I want you to grasp what your favorite movie is. Okay, just everybody go ahead and put it in your minds. What is your favorite movie? Now we all have many different favorite movies, right? But I just want to highlight kind of a trend that I'm beginning to see at the movie theaters, okay? So if you've been around for a while, let's just say it like that. If you've been around life for a while, and you would say, Trevor, there's been a franchise of movies that have impacted my life, I'm going to probably guess it real quick. If you like movies that deal with space, okay? That's a trend in the world we live in, and I think it's because not many of us have been there, so we can write about it and think about it and have all these creative ideas about space. There's this franchise that is impacting newer people that have just now being around in life. Let's just say it like that, all right? So, and the movie franchise is this, Star Wars. Will you put your hands together no matter what campus you're on if you like Star Wars right now? Like, it's okay to like Star Wars. We're excited about that, right? Based on space, Luke Skywalker, what a legend, right? Like, so awesome. But what happens is, movies bring people together, and we find some common ground, and you see people that dress up, and you remember if you've ever dressed up, and you go there early in the premiere, and it's really cool, right? Well, there's a newer kind of franchise of movies that's kind of based on space. It's like a trend, you know, and the franchise is the Marvel superheroes, MC universe, they even call it a universe. So if you like any Marvel character, if you liked the Endgame, if you liked Infinity War, whatever, Thanos fans, I don't know, like if you're that side of the universe, but will you put your hands together if you like the MC universe? There's a few people, there we go. Maybe it's the newer crowd that's not as excited this morning. You need your coffee, that's all good, it's all good. But movies bring people together. Let's just start there. Something in common. You get there, you bring them together, and it's great. Now, I've asked you to think of your favorite movie, the movie that's impacted you, the movie that you laugh at, the movie you could play on repeat when you're bored, when you don't know what to do. Maybe that's the movie that goes on the screen. I want you, no matter where you are at your house, there's somebody watching right now, and they're at their house for sure. Maybe you're in North Carolina or whatever. We're all going to yell out loud our favorite movies. One, to wake us up. Two, so that we can be a little unified this morning, and because the coffee is kicking in, because you can't get excited. If you can't get excited after the worship set that we just had across all our campuses, I don't know if you're joining us right now, like if your eyes are awake. So we're just going to go ahead and do this, okay? Are you with me? Okay, sweet. We got a few people with me right now. We're all going to join in this together. So on the count of three, yell your favorite movie out loud. One, two, three, Secret Life of Walter Mitty. There we go. Didn't that feel good, you know? You've already invested in this service together. We're investing in this moment together. And movies, they build, don't they? They build, like they start in one space and you feel some type of way, and then you go through the movie and there's this moment where the movie script and the movie, all the scenes, they flip. And there's this music that comes in, there's this score that comes in, and the intensity begins to build. And it begins to build to a moment where the movie comes to this idea where it's the climax of the movie and it changes everything. The hero has something terrible happen in his life and he's gonna have to do something to see victory come in. And you feel like maybe defeat is being found, or you feel like there's something so crippling that there's the character, that the lead is not gonna be able to get through it, or whatever it is, it comes to this pivotal moment where you have to go through it. And it's going to change everything. And we're going to be in the book of John today, John 17. And really, the whole book of John is written in light of, and it could be even a movie score. You can feel the music throughout the book of John. You can feel the playwright. You can feel the writer speaking into every situation, because the book of John is written from a firsthand account of Jesus' life, from one of Jesus' best friends, John. And John was there throughout those 3+ years and after, where Jesus was walking the earth, and he got to see firsthand account of everything that Jesus did. And he wrote this movie book, if you will, for you and I to believe. For us to believe and for us to understand who Jesus really is, so that we could have him move in our own life. So if you really want that and that reference, it's John 20, verse 30. And in John 20, verse 30, we get to see the whole point of the whole book. He says, this book is written so that you, the person listening to me, myself, that I will believe, that you will believe, that we will believe. So in John 17, we feel the intensity and the tension as Jesus is beginning to journey toward the most pivotal moment that was ever on the face of this earth. And in John 17, verse 20, is where we're going to begin to read. And as Jesus gets to this moment in verse 20, he's been praying in a garden, some pretty intense prayers. And he prays for a few things as he gets to this moment. He prays for help because he's about to go through something that is the most difficult thing that anyone has ever been through on the face of the earth. And before you go through anything like that, you need to understand why you're going through it, or what really matters as you go through it, or what the point is as you go into it. Because if you don't understand why you're going into something, don't expect to get through whatever you're about to go through. Because you need something that is more important than the thing you're going through to get you the thing that you're about to go through, to get you through. So Jesus is readying his mind, he's readying his heart, and he's praying for help to God the Father to help him get through and accomplish what he set out to do. And then he prays for his best friends that have been on this journey with him for over the 3 years. And he prays for them, and then in this moment, in verse 20, he does something very unexpected for every single one of us. And he prays for you, and he prays for me. He prays for us. And I want you to see this in verse 20. Listen to this. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. I want to pray for us because this is a big moment. And my prayer is going to be very simple, and it's going to be really that we don't miss these words and the intensity that Jesus is praying them. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for every single person that's listening to my voice. Not because they're listening to my voice, but I pray right now that they're listening to yours. And they're experiencing maybe just a glimpse of what you experienced in the garden. And God, I pray that they would, that we would have you move in our lives in this moment. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So there's negative things, and there are positive things that bring us together. And in this moment in the garden, Jesus is about to experience a negative thing, but he's going to flip it, and it's going to become a positive thing. And I want you to think about that for your life and our lives together. See, there's storms that come into our lives, physical ones, mental ones, spiritual ones, that come in that really shake us. They get us off course. They get us into a place where we're thinking a certain way, or we've gone through something and it was really hard, and then we have this experience of going through something really negative. And have you noticed when you go through something that's really hard, how much stronger you are after you've gone through it? And what happens in those negative moments or those negative times in our life, we remember those really well. Like, you can remember a lot of the really negative things that have happened in your life. They have made an impact on your life, whether negative or positive, they've made an impact. And have you ever noticed that when you tell a story about something that has been negative that you've been through, somebody else in a crowd or somebody else around you begins to say, oh, like, that's very similar to blank. That's very similar to what I've been through when I went through this. And there's really cool thing that happens in those moments, and you gain some common ground over something negative. And the opposite is also true as well. You'll go through something very positive, and let's just bring up sports if we can in this moment, because it is football season, and there's a lot of people excited about that. Can we just talk about that for a second and the craziness that happens when people come together over sports? We paint our bodies. We paint grass. We all go to a stadium, and we sweat and spend a lot of money to watch a bunch of people hit each other, and hopefully someone wins. Like, can we think about how weird that even just sounds as we explain that? Like you paint your baby and you get painted up and you have baby pictures of both of you painted at a game, right? Like, if you're that die hard, if you will. We go crazy for things that are positive and they bring us together. And then at the end of the game, whether we've won or not, we go home and hopefully we'll go back. We're excited to go back. And if we won, it was like we, the person that we're next to, that we don't have a clue, we are buying them dinner. We have just hugged them over and over again. And there may be even some kissing involved, which gets like a little weird, so be appropriate. But like that's what happens, you know? Like, we just go crazy and we get to know people right next to us at these sporting events. And it's like, we don't have a clue who they are. But because we have a commonality of a team that won, we are now best friends. It's crazy what can happen over negative things and positive things that bring us together and we have something in common. But I think it's very important for us to understand that. That there's not just something that's in common that's important, but it's important to understand there's a difference between having something in common and having unity. There's a difference. And the difference is found when I say this. Just because you're family and you have a blood bond with people doesn't mean there's unity in your family. See, we've all maybe experienced that no matter what family we've been in or been through. And I want you to hear me when I say this. This is our first big idea of the day. Unity is a very popular idea, but a very unpopular lifestyle. Because what's happening in stadiums, what's happening over coffees when we share these negative things is not unity, it's common ground, which is nice, and that's a good place to begin to have some unity, but unity that Jesus is praying for, unity that he's praying for you and for me, it's much different than just sharing something that's common with somebody else. It's much, much deeper. It's much more important. So I'm not bashing or putting down some common ground. I think that's amazing. But what I'm saying is, don't stop at common ground. What does it look like for us to really have the unity that God is praying for us? The Jesus in the garden, as he's feeling the weight of the world, as he's feeling the weight of the moment that he's about to step into, he's praying for unity. So here's what matters, unity. But let me ask another question. Why does it matter? Why does it matter? And I believe through Jesus' prayer we can begin to see why it matters. The first thing he prays for is this. Unity takes us from being rejected to being in relationship. Unity takes us from being rejected to being in relationship. Jesus came to earth so that you would no longer be rejected from being in relationship with God. He was about to do what he was going to do so that you would be in a place where you would no longer be rejected. You could be in relationship with God. And we see that right here. I pray that they will all be one, and may they be in us. See, everyone wants this. Everyone wants the invitation, right? You may not go to the party. You may not go to the dance, but you just want the invitation, don't you? I talked with somebody about that earlier this week. They just wanted to be invited, and the reason that they weren't invited to the party that they were wanting to go to, they weren't even going to go, but they just wanted the invitation. Jesus is about to send out a worldwide, no time limit invitation to everyone that's ever walked the face of the earth, walking the face of the earth, or going to walk the face of the earth. So everyone listening to me right now, listen to this. You are no longer living in rejection from having a relationship with God. You can be in relationship with God right now. He was feeling the weight of the intensity of that, changing everything in the garden. He was getting his why right because the weight was everyone. So I'm about to go through this temporary moment to make an eternal impact and change everyone's life. If you want it. If you want it. So the unity Jesus is talking about is taking us from rejection to relationship. The next thing we see him pray for is this. Unity takes us from loneliness to love. He says, may they experience such perfect unity and that you love them as much as you love me. May they experience such perfect unity and that you love them as much as you love me. Because you've got the invitation now. You're no longer rejected. You can have a relationship with God. But see, there's a difference between coming to the dance and being invited to the dance and actually getting invited to dance. See, when you go to a party or when you go to a dance, you want somebody to show you some love, to be excited that you're even there. And in this moment, he's saying, I'm gonna take unity a step further, and I'm gonna pray for unity to the next step. And I want them to not only come and be a part of a relationship with me, but I want them to experience all that being in a relationship actually has. I want them to experience the love, because you and I know this. We can be in a room full of crowded people and yet be the loneliest we've ever been. And it's time for us to not have a church full of people and have a church full of people that understand how much they are loved. See, somebody may be able to show up to whatever campus you're on, and they may sit next to you. You may have a relationship with Jesus, but do they understand that they're loved? Do you understand that you're loved? Are you experiencing it? And Jesus is praying that we would begin to experience his love, because you're no longer lonely. And in the garden, the reason he's praying for us for this is because he's understanding how lonely it is to go through something that is difficult, to go through something where you're about to lay down your life. And if you're not doing what you're doing in life for love, what are you doing it for? And he was about to do something where he was full of love like never before. And love was gonna get him through. And love was gonna take him to the finish line, where he was gonna complete what he sought out to do. He's gonna invite us, not just to a relationship, but to a relationship where you know you are loved and you feel it and you experience it all day, every day. And then he goes on to pray for this, for us. Unity takes us from infinite temporary options to one eternal purpose. That the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. So we're no longer rejected. We have relationship. We're no longer lonely. We have love. And now you don't have to have any more options. You don't have to know what is next. You don't have to worry about what's coming your way. You know that wherever you are, because you're in relationship, because you're experiencing the love of God, that you're right where you need to be, because you are with him and he is with you, so that the world will know that you sent me, so that Jesus is in your life, that you're experiencing his love, and that you are living out his love, so that the world will know. One eternal purpose. The question is, what do I do next, Trevor? The answer is, do you have an eternal purpose? Because you may have a temporary one, and that's awesome, and that may change, but the eternal one lasts forever, and I'm ready to have a life that echoes into eternity and doesn't just stop when I stop. And I think so, that's what every single one of us want. And in Philippians, Paul begins to explain to a community that wants to be community this, that you cannot have a community without unity. Good luck spelling it. You know what I'm saying? Like you can't have it. They're one and the same, and they're trying to have this amazing community, and they may understand why unity matters, but in Philippians, Paul is explaining something deeper and something even practical that is involved unity. Because yes, unity matters. Here's why. But how do I have unity come into my life? That's a great question. Let me help you answer that. Here's how. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. See, Paul in this moment was trying to let them know this big idea, that the enemy of unity is selfishness. It is selfishness. See, the things that you have in common, like those negative things, you were just gonna try and get through, and that's awesome. But the positive things as well, you just wanted to see a victory. And you and I know this, when your team is losing and is about to lose, you know that you're trying to leave as quickly as you can to get ahead of that traffic so that you can get home. See, that's selfish, and if there was true unity happening, you would stay to the very end, make sure everybody in the stands was okay to drive home and to leave, and you would be there to make sure that the players and all of the people were okay and that they knew that it wasn't that big a deal in the first place for them to have a victory. It's all just for fun anyways. See, if we really had unity, we would live a completely different way and how Jesus is asking us to live. But we are selfish. Like I am. We are. So don't expect unity to truly come into your life if it's all about you. See, that's the hard thing right now. Is that it's so difficult for us to grasp this. It's so difficult for me to grasp this. But if you looked at what Paul says, he gives us the cure, the path to having our selfishness not always be so present, because it will be there. It's whether or not we choose to act upon our selfishness and to be selfless. And here's what he says. Look at this. He says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Oh, shoot. Here we go. You ready to check this out? Look at this. The attitude that Jesus had was this. Jesus took us from being rejected to being in a relationship. He took us from lonely to love, and he took us from infinite temporary options to one eternal purpose. Now that you've received it, it's time for us to give it, because that's how unity happens. When you receive the unity that God is trying to have come into your life, it's time for you to give it so that somebody else can get what you have now found. And that's the amazing part of unity. That's the amazing part of unity. And the attitude that Jesus had was this. Are we ready for it, church? It's time for us to help the rejected. It's time for us to help the lonely. And it's time for us to help the people who do not know what to do, where to go, or how to live in life. See, we'll see unity come into our churches. We'll see unity come into our homes. We'll see unity come into our friendships when we begin to help the people that are rejected, when we begin to help the people that are lonely, and when we begin to help the people who don't know what to do. Because we've received the love of God, because we've received the relationship of God, because we've received the eternal purpose that he wants us to live in, it's time for us to put on the attitude that is Jesus. It's time to put the attitude that he had in the most intense moment of his life, because the intensity and the climax of the movie of your life is coming your way. But are we ready for it? I don't know if I am all the time. And I'll be honest, I don't even know some of what I said even makes sense. But my prayer is that we would begin to understand and know why Jesus was praying this prayer. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me, because you loved me even before the world began. Jesus didn't talk much about unity until he prayed for it. In the most intense moment, because he was getting his own attitude right for what he was about to go through. He was getting his own why right before he was about to go through what he was going to go through, because he wasn't going to give up. He was reminding himself of you so that you could have unity and oneness with him. And so right now, I want to ask you is this: when you want the unity Jesus gives you, you want Jesus. So do you want Jesus? Do you want Jesus? Do I want Jesus? Because if we really at the end of the day want this, the unity he gives, then at the end of the day we really want this, Jesus. I need him today. Because my attitude isn't always right, so I need to be reminded of why I'm here, of what I've received, so that I can begin to give it and have what I really want. Because Trevor, myself, I do not want to live a life thinking I'm going to get a lot out of it. I want a life knowing I'm going to get a lot out of it. I want to stop fooling myself for thinking that I have community when I'm not fighting for unity, when I'm not giving unity all that I have. And that's why in this moment, Jesus is on his knees. Some scriptures say he's bleeding blood because he was so intense. It was such an intense moment because he wants to be with you, and he was willing to lay down his life, to give it all up, so you wouldn't have to be rejected. So you don't have to be lonely. You don't have to know what not to do. You don't have to be wander anymore. So my question is, do you want Jesus? Let's pray. God, I pray that we want you. God, I pray that we would understand what's coming our way. God, I pray that we would just right now, as we're just sitting wherever we are, whether we're in Seminole, whether we're at downtown, whether we're at Tyrone right now in this room and we're all together, God, I pray that right now that we would be experiencing what it feels like to sit in a crowded room and to not be lonely, but to be loved. And God, I pray that we would realize that we don't have to live a life of rejection, and we can live a life of purpose. So God, do what only you can do in this moment, right now.